Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, Cervantes and Hamilton going to each other and the whiskey. Fights into it.
We have a fight.
With Mike Schopen, the Bulldog.
Knocheck was just totaled by an Iowa State player against the board.
I think it was by Hamilton.
On WGR.
Really a pretty unnecessary hit by Hamilton. Hamilton is still awfully mad. He's being held back.
Number 17, Paul Hamilton. 2 minutes for charging, 5 minutes for fighting, and a misconduct.
Sports Radio 550.
I love the sound of the announcer's voice describing how mad Paul was on the ice. Just that very sort of high-pitched, kind of meek-sounding voice. He's really mad out there. Stay cool, Paul. I woke up today and I felt fine. Then I went for a walk, because a walk is what you do when you want to sort of clear your head, right?
Sure.
Like, just clear your head.
Get some air. Yeah.
And I found myself, this happens to me, and it sort of bugs me. I found myself kind of like preparing comebacks for arguments. Like, they haven't even happened yet. But what if, if this person says this, you will say that. And I was listening to a show in my little earbud things, and I'm just like, Mike, the whole point of, I got mad at myself, like, the whole point of going on this walk.
Right.
Was to sort of just clear your mind and not do that. And I couldn't. I was just in there. Like, these arguments haven't even happened yet. But I still won't even execute. I still, if it comes up, actually, even if it's exactly the way I thought of it, I know I will not come through and do it exactly the way I want anyway. So what good is that? What good is any of that doing me?
Were these Except arguments steps. You were inventing in your head prompted by what you were listening to?
No.
Okay, all right.
Just work stuff or whatever. Like, what if somebody says this to you? Well, you'll come back with that. And like, come on, I'm walking along the river. Like, it's a perfect day. What am I doing? Paul, do you take walks?
Yeah, when I go on my walks, I try to think of what I could have done differently to get away from that player to continue that fight. So,
So I'm sure you're grateful that we play it every time you come on.
I know, because it gives me a perspective where I can think back to what could I have done to get away from our captain who was holding me back there.
This many years later.
That is a good thing. It is a good thing to do on walks. I mean, that's what I miss the most about running. Like, I'm cycling now very rigorously. It's a very different activity. Like, running, your mind is blank, really, or can be if you're not listening to anything. And I would think about the show and how we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about or what I want to say to my kids that day or whatever while I was running. And it was very therapeutic for me. It was like a game planning session for the day, and it was great. It was very useful. On a bicycle going 15 miles an hour, there's no you're concentrating on not running into stuff. It's just not it's not the same activity at all. It does not afford me the same opportunity. I miss that very much.
A little bit more strenuous.
Yeah, well, mentally, yes.
It was great last year, you know, in the first 3 months when things weren't going my way of the pandemic and everything was just the world was going to wherever and we're basically quarantined to our houses, and that's actually what got me going to exercising every day in the morning. I'd walk in the morning or rollerblade, and then I would bike at night, and I would forget about all those things while I was walking. It really was a mind clear, and I think it's one of the things that helped me stay sane for the first 3 months when, you know, things were really kind of bad. But that's why I started walking, and then I started losing weight while I was doing it. So that was a bonus.
There it is. Well, let's leave it. That's the point we want to land on.
Right. Good talk, everyone.
Supposed to be good for you. That's right. All right. Good. Hey, Paul, of course, we'll talk about some bigger stuff, but Joe has in the update this Paterka coming to North America or probably doing so. What are his prospects?
Yeah, this is a kid who's done very well for Germany at the World Junior Tournament. I think he was their leading scorer. If not, he was close to it. He was one of the leading scorers in the tournament. And then played for Germany in the World Championships, too. Didn't get in right away, but had a chance to get in, did score a goal throughout the tournament. And He obviously would like to get to North America and get his North American career started. Don't forget, he's the guy the Sabres moved up to get in the second round. I believe the Sabres had the 38th pick, and they moved up to the 34th pick in a trade with San Jose, and that got them up there because they had a first-round grade on Peterka. So did the Pittsburgh Penguins, and we know that because Karmanos came and said that the Penguins were very high on him too when they had a first-round grade on him also. So, you know, here's a player that, you know, some teams thought was a first-round type of player, and the Sabres traded up to get him.
Well, so he's someone to watch for sure. Rochester, probably?
I would think, yeah. I don't think he's – yes, he did play with men in the World Championships, but – you know, I think definitely he would at least need a year or two to season in Rochester.
What do you think, Paul, while we're on that, and like Mike said, we'll get to the big stuff. How did Quinn go, and like if there's a possibility, and it might not be, at least not in the fall, for the OHL to start up, would you expect that the Sabres to want him to go back to the OHL or go turn pro and play in Rochester?
That's interesting. I believe he can play in Rochester, I think. I think I had read that he could, okay. Whereas some junior players would still have to go back to junior if they didn't make the big club. There are things he needed to learn in his game. He did well. They liked what they saw. And one of the things that Seth Appert talked about is he likes the fact that, you know, when something is presented to him, he gets it. He understands it, and he can apply it to his game. And they felt, you know, there were things that he needed to do for his game. He scored a couple of goals. He actually was better setting up goals than he was at scoring goals. And then he got injured while he was down there. He has to put on some muscle, definitely. I mean, he still has a 18, 19-year-old body. And, you know, he needs to fill out and be able to get stronger if he's going to play in the National Hockey League.
Well, the big stuff here. They're still not an official coach. We have all the Jack Eichel trade speculation continuing and more with respect to the roster, excuse me. But, Paul, what's new, if anything? Like we talked late last week, I'm not sure anything has changed on any front, or has it?
Well, I think, you know, the reason that they had a meeting with Granato last week, it was the day before the Brind'Amour contract was announced. So I think that's, you know, they were moving on, obviously, from wondering what was going to happen with Brind'Amour. Now we knew that for sure, that they were waiting on that. Now the question is there another coach that they're waiting on who would have to be an assistant coach in the Final Four here, you know, that they would be waiting on to talk to. From everything we are hearing, the second round of interviews have started to take place. They could be finished by now. And, you know, which would help them get down to a number of probably candidates, maybe two or three, and then go from there. And, you know, they said all along they're going to be very methodical about this. They're going to – no stone will be unturned. I think that's why – because a lot of people are saying, well, if it's going to be Granato, just announce it. Well, yeah, they still might think Granato is the front runner, but they still want to go through the process of talking to all these coaches thoroughly so they make sure that Granato would be their choice.
Well, okay. I think we're all Bulldog. I mean, I don't know why I would assume this, but Granato from the end of the season to now, I still think is, and I don't mean this in any sort of sarcastic way, a palatable idea, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, no, I definitely feel I wanted them to do this. You know, circling all the way back to, you know, the end of the year, and I know, Paul, you are part of these conversations too. I think there is some value in just hearing out other people tell you what they see as your team's strengths and weaknesses and things that they would want to build on and enhance and get rid of or whatever. Like, I think that can be useful. I'm not saying you would take all of those ideas to heart and implement them all, but I think... you know, given the inexperience that at least Kevin Adams has, Karmanos has been around longer than he has in this type of a job anyways, I think that could be a useful exercise for them. So, you know, as long as there hasn't been any danger, and I don't sense that there has been, that Don Granato is going to take some other job, then, you know, I think take your time and, you know, find out as much as you can find out. And who knows, you might find someone that is a better fit for you, whether that's, you know, stylistically, you know, schematically, just whatever it is, or even just personally. So I don't mind that it's taking as long as it is.
Yeah, I like the fact that he wants to hear what other people have to say about his team. I'll bet he has interviewed some coaches which he really had no thought that he was going to hire. But to do just what you were talking about, hear what their thoughts are about the team, see if they match with what his thoughts are, what Karmanis' thoughts are, with what Granato's thoughts are. And I'm sure you're going to finally hear – you're going to hear from – These are smart coaches in some cases. You're going to hear some ideas where you think to yourself, hey, yeah, that's a good idea. You know, that's something I think mm-hmm. we could implement and do that. So it's not like you're missing any training camps or rookie camps or the head coach has very little to do with the draft in the NHL, so that's not a big deal. It's not like you have to have a coach in place in the near future or you're going to be in trouble unless – the guy you're thinking of is thinking of going to another team.
Paul Hamilton with us on the West Her Hotline. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Paul, we were earlier talking about maybe what might be the mechanics of an Eichel trade, or not the trade, but like negotiations, conversations. I feel like in general with this, you're the Sabres. Other teams come to you about Jack Eichel. There's no secret about his, you know, apparent availability. And you're not calling around to see if teams want him. They're going to come to you if they want him, I think. And, you know, another team would want to – this is another one of my thoughts. Another team would want to make an offer that's good enough to convince the Sabres, to tell the Sabres this is a team that's really interested, but not so good that they would just take it right away. Of course, we obviously haven't gotten to that point. So what do you think about when you think about how a trade like this would get built?
One of the things I was talking about over the weekend, and I know I probably one of the few people that think this. It's an unpopular opinion, I think. But I tend to think in a logical manner, and to me this is logical, but a lot of fans have already told me online that, you know, no, you can't do this. I'm of the opinion I couldn't care less if they trade Eichel to the Leafs, to the Bruins. I don't care. If it's the best deal by far, I think you're hurting your team and you're hurting yourself by not making it. Now, I understand where Adams is coming from. Is he's basically talking to Western Conference teams, and from what we're hearing, if it's an Eastern Conference team, they're going to have to cough up more than what maybe a Western Conference team is going to have to. If the offers are similar, sure, you absolutely would go with the Western Conference team. But I just don't. I don't get it that you would if the Bruins or the Leafs or Tampa Bay or whoever is in your division by far comes up with the best offer to make your team better. Great. Make the trade, then figure out how you stop Jack Eichel for the 8 games that you're going to play him in during the regular season. But and as I said, I understand that's not a popular opinion, but I just don't understand why you wouldn't want to take the best possible deal by far, even if it is from one of those teams.
Are we, by the way, 100% sure the Sabres will not be in the Western Conference? Maybe you take your chances and trade them to the Leafs, and then you get moved to the West. Realignment. Yeah,
they'll be with Vancouver, Seattle.
If you're worried about playing them, there's some chance the Canadian teams will stay together.
All right. Paul, yeah. what kind of urgency do you get any sense at all for it, or just for you yourself as an observer? Like, do you think that this is something that, you know, needs to get wrapped up before we get to, you know, the expansion draft, the draft, free agency, you know, well ahead of that stuff? I mean, how where are you on a timeline on this as far as urgency goes?
The expansion draft would help you getting some of these deals done, even in all three cases, Eichel, Ristolainen, Reinhardt, because it would help you protect some players that maybe you don't want to lose and you wouldn't have to give up draft choices to do it. But I think for sure by the draft that you'd want to get it done, because Adams is looking for a first-round pick in this year's draft. Now, it's to me, it's not the end of the world if you get a pick in next year's draft instead, a first-round pick. It's a better draft. Problem is, you don't know. There's no certainty where that pick is going to be. You know exactly where the pick is going to be in this year's draft. Right. You know that Anaheim has the third overall pick. You know Columbus has the fifth overall pick. Whereas if you deal with one of those teams for next year, you don't know where the pick's going to be. It could be anywhere. So, you know, this if you want the certainty of knowing what pick you're getting, then, yes, you need to get this done before the draft happens in late July. But if you don't care necessarily and a first-round pick in next year's draft will satisfy you, then it really doesn't matter.
All right, Paul. Pleasure.
Yes, nice talking to you.
Yankees are where? I just heard this. Jays are in Miami. Where are the Yankees?
They're not in first. I know that.
Yankees are home, I believe, against Kansas City.
That's right.
I was going to ask Bulldog. I had a question today.
Oh, my. Do you have any questions for us, Paul?
Let me get a pen.
I was going to ask Bulldog where the Bulldog Parker private jet is going to land this weekend.
Wow.
You guys are world travelers now in your new private jet. And you should, Mike, you should see this thing. You know how the Patriots have the five or the Super Bowl trophies, six of them, on the tail?
This is going to be really something.
The Parkers, you know, they got their jet because they know they're going to have a son in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and a son in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Oh, my
God. They're getting a jump on things now. Oh. And on the tail is a picture of Fred.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just one plane. Are we sure that's enough? Mike Shope and Carmen Sandiego, everybody.
So sure of all these things. Paul, I'm not going anywhere ever again, is what I'm doing. Can I tell you what I did Sunday morning? This was not hangover-induced. I mean, I'm just hanging out with my 19-year-old son in Minnesota. It's not like I'm out hitting it. He left. There was a bus to take the team, so he left early. The game was at 9:30, so he left like 7 a.m. on the bus to go to this game. We were a ways away from the rink where we were staying. So I'm driving myself. So I get myself together. I go downstairs, and there's your breakfast buffet set up. And I get my coffee, and I'm looking at the stuff, and it's not, you know, there's no hot food, there's no eggs or no waffle maker because everything's been scaled down still, even at this late point in the pandemic. But I'm surveying the options, and I say to myself, well, no, I've got a box of Clif Bars in the truck because I know I packed that to have for the road, so I'll just have a Clif Bar. It's fine. It's better. I'll have that instead of a Danish here or a muffin or whatever. I'll have a Clif Bar, and I walk out of the hotel with my cup of coffee and reach into my pocket to get my keys out, and of course they're the keys to a rental car. I don't have Clif Bars in the truck because the truck is in Buffalo and I'm in Minneapolis, and like I literally have like I need to get home. I am burned here. I just don't even know. Like I literally thought, no Pop Tarts. I've got Clif Bars. No, I don't. Wow. That was the surest sign, and because I'm weary from 2 weeks on the road, and I know you travel extensively with hockey, and lots of people travel for work. I'm just not a road warrior, and it that to me, I'm not going anywhere for a while, Paul.
Are you sure you're not getting a little senile or something?
I mean, it could be, you know, but that actually happened.
Well, I would say you might as well then rent out Air Fred. Not just have it sit there on the tarmac going unused, right?
Air
Paul, where should we go?
You know on Twitter you're getting a picture of Air Fred one of
the, I want it.
Fairly soon here.
Listen, everything you said leading up to Fred on the tail made me want to throw up in my mouth, but I do want a picture of Fred on the tail of a plane now. I do want that. I'll even post a picture of Fred so that people can make it happen if they need
it. You made you throw up to have your kids in Halls of Fame?
Paul, easy. Hang up, Paul. Just let's
Fred is Bulldog's brother, by the way.
We need to end this. Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Take care.
Paul's appearance with us brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Checking back on one of our drafts from last summer and how a couple of things might need to be changed when we return. Here for your calls at 803-0550. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
I think they would be definitely. I think the question comes down to price tag and what they would have to pay. My guess is that the Sabres, from a starting point from the Wild, and this is where it gets dicey, would want Marco Rossi, who was the Wild's first-round pick last year. He looks like a really good player. The problem is that he had COVID and subsequently had a heart issue and sat out the season, but he's fine now. I would say they would want him or Matthew Boldy, who was the Wild's first-round pick a couple years ago, who is prepared to play right now in the National Hockey League, and he's a big forward winger, sort of plays like a hybrid center.
From our morning show today, that is their guest, Judd Zulgad from Score North, talking about how Minnesota could be a fit in an Eichel trade. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, a little bit of Sabres fun just ahead. One of the more popular things we ever turn to is Sabres fun. A little bit of an oxymoron in some parts, but
there are ways.
Free Sabres fun. First, let's talk to Zach on WGR. Hello, Zach.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great, Zach. Thanks for calling us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I was just listening to a podcast yesterday about the stadium, and I'm just confused about this Roger Liddell, right? Like, I don't understand, like, what right does he have to say what stadium we have? Like, we love our stadium, and it just seems crooked. Like, he's pushing us to get a new stadium, and then all of a sudden he's got a new company to – help us out with that. Like, it just doesn't seem right. And
it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's kind of making my skin boil.
Yeah, there are certain, in my opinion, there are certain deals you have to make as a sports fan to get by. I mean, you sound like, if you're bothered by that, you're the kind of person I could get along with, because like, There's stuff all over the place. It's just
almost everything about the business of the league is.
Yeah. College sports. Holy cow!
Really, is. I mean, you're right, but that's, you know, yeah, that's the price of doing business. You know, like the other Goodell's rights. Really, it's not so much a right as it is, like, I mean, he's the commissioner, and the other owners, he supposedly, I mean, the way they say it is he works for them, right? He's looking out for them and the values of their franchise and the revenue that comes in, and the other owners in the league want Buffalo to max out their revenue. And you are not maxing out your revenue if you've got a stadium that was built in 1973, regardless of whatever refurbishments you've done over the course of time. You're not maxing out. A new place helps you sell stuff for more money, and that means more money for the league. And the Bills, even though they're in such a small market, can do more in the eyes of the league, and they're being asked to do more. And in order to stay in the league in good standing, I think you have to do more.
Yeah, I suppose, but they won't be getting the money from me. Like, every time I go to a game, I try to get the real cheap aftermarket tickets. Last game I went to was $5, the kids game 2 years ago. But
I can respect. Thank you, Zach. I can respect somebody looking at it, dealing with it that way. They'll get their money, and you know they'll probably get it from us lots of different ways. And I just don't want to be mad about it, you know, like there's so much in the world now to just be mad about. And there's people that you know who like it. They seem to like being mad about things. They take on positions on these causes that they probably will not affect them at all, but it gives them a chance to sort of vocalize and be somebody in the space. I don't want to be mad about everything. Specific to this stadium, I feel like I said this the other day. There've been lots of different, when I lived in Rochester too, there've been lots of different stadium topic moments. And here we're about on another one. And these things I think are both true. It's gross. And there's almost no worse way to spend the kind of money that it takes than building another, like an NFL stadium that might only be used by an NFL team that has a fan base that's perfectly happy with the one it has, and so on and so on. But that money does get used for projects like that. And if you don't take it, someone else will get it. So I guess at the risk of being naive about it or just sort of complicit, what? If they have a new stadium, I'll want to enjoy it and go to it and use it and sort of, you know, be proud of it. But, man, who knows if they'll even be in NFL in however many years. I mean, you hear all the time about people just like not playing the sport anymore and lawsuits and just the health of players after they leave the league. I don't know. that changes over the decades. Popularity of sports and participation, it changes dramatically. And we're going to build a stadium that's meant to last for how long? I don't know. If you're Atlanta, like 5 years, maybe.
Right, right.
But I would like to think longer.
Baseball teams. Yeah, like, them, you know,
I mean, there's just no end to a list of things that would be better, a better use of that kind of money. Right. But what are we really talking about? We're basically led to think, made to think, that this is how you get to keep the Bills. This is your way of keeping them. Right?
Right, and that outranks fixing the school system.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, I'm being flippant. I mean, that's where the gross part comes in. But the reality is, you're not going to fix the schools. You're not going to take the money that you would have spent on a stadium and fix the schools. I mean, I just don't think that's how it's going to work. It'd be, you know, idealistically, I mean, I'm going to raise my hand. I work in sports radio. The Bills matter to my life. I would rather we fix the schools, but I think you're naive to think there's going to take, you know, how much money? $1 billion? And just fix, you know, there you go. That should change everything. I mean, it's not that simple, and I just don't think it works that way. And I'm not telling you that makes it right, but that's the reality. That's the world we live in.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you have a conscience about it and you sort of think it through, you don't end up at, let's build another stadium for the Bills. But, you know, it's... it could happen, and again, like, I want to sort of be happy about it and enjoy it and sort of be proud of how Buffalo can maybe look better in the league's eyes or in fans' eyes around the country, you know? Whatever. I don't spend a lot of time worrying about that or thinking about that, but you want to look at the positives. And there would be many, probably. Right? Probably. Anyway, all right, so thank you, Zach. We'll see what happens. So I did want to bring up this other let's do the Saber fun thing.
Okay. Right?
This is kind of fun. It's little, but it's kind of fun. Last night in the NHL, the score was Tampa Bay 8, the Islanders 0. Yeah. First 8-0 game in the conference finals or later since Mario Lemieux and the Penguins finished off Minnesota in the Stanley Cup Finals 1991. 8-0. They won the cup. In Minnesota, on the road, 8-0. Pretty good. Statement. I watched that game.
Yeah.
Pretty emphatic win.
Was that what game of the series?
Game 6.
Game 6. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
It was such an odd final. Like, Pittsburgh was really good. Minnesota was crappy, but they made it. That's hockey. It's just an odd final. Like, it's always Edmonton, Boston, Islanders, Montreal. It's always, like, the same teams. Then Pittsburgh and Minnesota. Like, what a weird matchup.
I think also that's got to be one of the worst ways to win a cup. 8-0
on the road.
Like, you just know what's happening for an hour and a half. Like, that's awesome. But I'd rather, like,
it's a great hour and a half.
It's a great hour and a half. Let's. I want some drama.
You want it to be more. Just you want to be edge of your seat.
Yeah.
The last 8-0 playoff game in any round that was a shutout was here. 8-0 was a shutout. The last win this big that also was a shutout was here.
2001 against Philly.
In 2001 against Philly, who scored for the Sabres in that game? I thought of the question. I tried it myself. I got 5 out of 6.
Oh, wow.
Not 6. It's 6 players because 2 guys scored twice each.
Boy.
Who scored for the Sabres in their 8-0 win to eliminate Philadelphia in the 2001 playoffs on an NFL draft Saturday?
I'm going to say, boy, I have no idea. I can remember the first guy I thought of scoring a goal. Maybe the first goal of the series, even? Did Chris Gratton score in the 8-0 game?
Yes.
Okay.
I think twice.
All right. Well, there you go. There's one of those guys.
The first game of that series, I watched with Roby and Brian Blessing. I worked over there. And they won like 2-1. Gilmore scored, I think, in that game. It was a Hasek game. And then game 2 is the McKee goal.
Right.
Which was
That's a
one of my favorite.
Afternoon, if I remember
That's
right.
That's right. One of my favorite Sabre goals ever. I saw him recently, by the way.
Oh, good.
He says hi.
All right.
Our kids were playing against each other.
hi right back to Jay.
How about that?
Him or had heard from him since we had him on the show around this time last year, right? Was that when MSG started rolling those games back?
Probably,
and
yeah.
We started visiting with a lot of the old guys from those teams. He'll appreciate me calling him an old guy right now. But, yeah, that's the last time I've had any contact with Jay.
Well, my daughter played against his son, and I felt young for it. I felt like I'm like on Jay's level here, hockey-wise. We're both watching our kids play on the same ice.
Awesome. Yeah, fun.
Yep.
All right, so Grattan is right.
Grattan is right.
Gilmore, I'm going to guess he did not score in that game.
He did.
Okay.
And he's the one I missed. I do not I don't remember all of these goals, but I remembered other guys for scoring in that game, not Gilmore, but he did.
All right. How about J.P. Dumont?
Yes. He might have also had two. Why am I saying might? I have it right here on the screen.
Aren't you
Grattan
keeping
had two,
track
Dumont
of this? Like,
had
I'm counting
two.
On you to know.
Yes, they both had two goals.
Okay.
Yes.
So, all right, we've got four of the eight. We need four more goal scorers.
Oh, and you have Gilmore.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, so three more guys.
What you want is the end of the first period. If you're going to think about this game, you want the end of the first period. Because that's where the game went from promising to over. Joe wouldn't have liked it. Because it was an elimination game, and he was not on the edge of his seat. He would not have been
right,
nervous.
Right. Oh.
My story is I was nervous for the game and I chose not to go to it. That's what I do. Like I was so in a state of nervousness about the game for the Sabres that I stayed in my apartment, and then at 3-0 or 4-0, I'm like, I'm going down there. So I went down there because it's gonna be a nice party after.
Yeah.
I went to the game like in the middle of it.
Was this the apartment in West Seneca?
Yeah.
All right. How about Alex Zitnik?
Two assists.
So close. Somebody probably tipped one of his errant shots into the net. That's how he got an assist.
Hey. You taking a shot at Zitnik, that is not normal.
Yeah, well. Jeez. I don't
know. All right, you remember the team, but maybe not the specific goals.
Yeah. No,
Andrewchuk.
Andrewchuk is right. End of the first period. Donald Audet scored less than a minute before that, and the game was just over. Chickmanic gave up all four goals, and it was done. 4-0 after one. Also, Steve Hines scored a power play goal in that game to make it 6-0 at 6:38 of the second. And then the beer was flowing on the bench, I bet.
Yep. Well,
Fedorik is the player for this game. Remember the Fedorik in the third?
Right.
Just kind of lost it.
Yeah, and Rip Simonic got into him at the bench. Yes.
Yes. He should get credit for a goal.
Yes.
For that. Miro, three assists. Dom, the shutout. Wooly. Max had an assist. A young Max.
Yeah. Joe's favorite.
I saw a highlight of him scoring against Hasek in Hasek's first game back in Buffalo.
Yes, that happened. In the 0-1 playoffs, the year before that, this playoffs, he scored in one of the Pittsburgh games on the road. Maybe game six.
Yeah, from Gilmore, maybe.
Maybe. He had a goal. He had a big goal.
With Gilmore, yeah.
In one of the road games in Pittsburgh that year. That's right. So that was a fun time.
All right. I guess I made the right call last night at 3-0. I was really tired. So the hockey game started at 8 last night, right, or 10 after 8. I'm watching 3-0, 4 minutes or so to go in the first period. I'm like, this is an easy call to go to bed.
Yep.
And, you know, you never know. You never know what you're going to get, right? I mean, you know, it could turn around one goal there and whatever. But, yeah, I got up today 8-0. I'm like, okay, solid choice.
Yeah, you got that right. You hear about the times when that goes wrong, like one of those, like the Utah Clipper game, which was Utah by 25. And you hear about the guy who woke up in the morning and couldn't believe the Clippers won. But, yeah, this is more, what you're talking about is more common.
It just keeps going the way it was going. Right. Right?
You're right to think the game is over.
Right.
All right, so tonight is Montreal-Vegas, 2-2. This is, you know, pretty good playoff. This is a good round so far. Two close series.
Yeah, the series are close. I mean, the Montreal-Vegas series has been mostly pretty ugly. Like, if it's close, it's because Montreal is shutting the game down. And so if that's the game you're watching, you know, not so great to watch. And I don't want to even get into the officiating because it just feels like the easiest thing in the world to do, but it's been atrocious, particularly in that series. And so I wouldn't say it's good that it's 2-2, but it's been kind of a dog as far as the hockey goes, mostly. I mean, I'm enjoying watching Price and Leonard, and, you know, it was Leonard the other night and Fleury, but the hockey's not great.
Well, if you're not in the mood for it tonight, you could watch the NBA draft lottery.
Well, I'll tell you, you know,
short.
What? I am going to watch the Robertson Cup Championship between the Aberdeen Wings and the Shreveport Mudbugs.
I believe you are.
That is what I'm going to. That is at 8 o'clock. I wish they would every now and then. This website that we've been using all year to watch these games in the North American Hockey League, Hockey TV is what it's called. They'll put up stuff for free. And it feels to me like the championship game is a thing that, like, it would be good for them to promote. Like, hey, you know, check us out. You know, give this a try. Maybe it'll be worth it to you if you like it, whatever. But I don't see any of that on their website. But I'm gonna be tuned in. One of Owen's buddies, Cole Hudson, is the starting goalie for Shreveport, and you know, I'm pumped to watch that. So that's what I'm gonna be, at least before the NHL game starts. I don't know that
all
I'll
right.
stay with it all night, but should be. It's a one game winner take all. That's it. They played a three game best of three semis, and both teams swept, and now they're meeting tonight for the title.
One game final.
Yeah.
One game series. NBA draft lottery is tonight. When is the NHL draft lottery?
Yeah, that happened already.
No, I mean next year's. I feel like we're going to need to know when that is. Has that been announced?
I haven't seen a date yet on that.
Right. Joe will find out.
April something.
Joe will look it up.
All right.
Mike Schopen and the Bulldog back after this on WGR. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog, thanks for listening. The nightcap is coming up at 7. I have in front of me the cup of coffee draft from last summer.
Okay.
How high on the board should Taylor Hall or even Eric Staal be if we were to do that over? Like, are they first-round picks? Both guys, of course, star players in the league for years that, I mean, it's just like almost embarrassing that it happened. In both cases, just...
Yeah,
they tried that, and it went badly, and they just gave them away, both guys.
Ah, boy, I have you have the draft in front of you?
Yes. So Sabres, who were picked in this draft, Joe picked Tim Horton in the first round of the Cup of Coffee draft. The premise, who were barely here. It got funny. It got funny.
And Tim Horton, obviously, Cup of Coffee, that totally... Like that works too.
I had to be reminded of that. Doug Gilmore in round 4. Craig Patrick is good in round 4. That was Joe.
Yeah.
That's good. Eddie Shore. You picked Eddie Shore.
Wow. But he played like, well, okay. Yeah, I don't remember at all, but I must have Googled that.
Eddie Shore. Not played. Eddie Shack.
Yeah, Eddie Shack.
Eddie Shack, should that be?
Maybe, I don't know. Eddie Shore, I don't remember.
Is it Eddie Shore,
Eddie Shore
a long
retired
time ago?
In 1939.
Yeah, Eddie Shore is like an early legend of hockey.
Yeah,
Eddie Shack.
Right. That's why I'm sort of, yeah. No.
I knew it was an Eddie Shack.
Eddie Shack. He played 111 okay. games
Eddie
over
Shack.
2 years.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to have corrected this here.
Taylor Hall and Eric Staal outrank him.
They both come in above Eddie Shack.
Yes.
Round 6, I had Yaroslav Halak. Joe had, or Bulldog had Brian Trottier in round 6. That's good. And then also, very Sabres-heavy draft by Bulldog. Kozlov in round 7.
Yeah.
Joe went Taro Sugimoto, the made-up player.
Okay.
Brad Ryder with Ronan Tynan was hilarious. I remember that moment.
Uh-huh. Where did you pick Antonio Brown in this thing?
101. My best pick I've ever made on any draft. That's a cup of coffee. An hour.
It really should not have counted, but okay.
Why?
Because he never was on the team, Mike. The
Well, what constitutes on the team?
He ordered the coffee and left before it.
They didn't even get in the car to go get the coffee.
They made a deal for him that was agreed to, and Brown kiboshed it. Or else he would have been. I don't know if he'd still be on the Bills, but he would have been on the Bills. That is a cup of coffee. He didn't even show up. Clark Gillies also in that draft.
So I think Stahl and Hall rate for sure.
Who's higher? Hall.
Hall was here longer.
by how many days?
Wait, three more games, maybe.
Couple weeks, I don't know. Right? No, Stahl. When did Stahl?
Hall, remember they were sitting out, though, at some point. So he might have been just sitting in his hotel room.
He was
room.
Here right to the trade deadline. Stahl was a couple weeks before the deadline.
Stahl was a grande. Hall was a venti. Hall for me because, you know, the Hart Trophy.
Yeah.
I was going to say Stahl there just because I had – like, Taylor Hall has been, like, a great player in the league. Like, I've never really thought much more of him than that. Stahl was a guy I hated because of Carolina in 06. And then, like, he was wearing the Sabre uniform, and that was kind of gross to me.
They might be sort of, like, in the years to come, when we look back on this, hopefully the Sabres will have graduated from this lowly state. If they do, you know, in the future, we'll look back on this and be like, wow, that's right, those guys. You know, they might be like how you remember the lowest of the low times is like Taylor Hall. The time that Taylor Hall was on the team. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh my gosh, nothing worked.
And there were no fans in the building either. No one ever saw, well, they were limited at the end, but.
Yeah.
How many people actually saw him?
Right. It's like people who saw Babe Ruth. The people who went to a Taylor Hall Sabres game. Not many.
Yeah, it's already starting to happen. Yesterday, I had to ask Owen. I don't know why it came up, but I was thinking of it, and I could not remember Michael Hauser's name. I asked Owen, who's the goalie, not Tokarski, the other guy, who had to play late because everybody was hurt, and he knew right away. And I'm like, God, I'm trying to remember that for like 5 years from now. We play Sabres Rando. I'm going to need to remember Michael Hauser.
The guy who was born in Pittsburgh, club right. feet. Surgeries yep. and then made Great it to the story. NHL. Yeah, beat right. and played the Penguins. Didn't beat the Penguins. Got blown out by the Penguins, but he beat somebody.
Maybe he beat them here. Did he? Who did
something?
He beat?
Maybe that's right.
He went there.
Or the Islanders. Roasted. He might have beaten the Islanders.
Okay, all right.
Don't know. We'll have the update next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.